Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
Well, we're halfway through 2016, and our theme this year in Christian Ministries Church is Jesus is Lord. Last week, we had a Jesus is Lord update. So the title of today's message is, Are You Living Under a New Lord? As we are halfway through this year, I want us to have a little quick check on where we are in our theme. Because you are in a church that refuses to be like at the end of the year the same thing we were at this first of the year. We're not going to just come in here week in and week out and go through a religious exercise and at the end of the year be the same as we were the first of the year and the end of the year be the same as we were 5 years ago. We may have problems, but they're not going to be the same problems we had a year ago. We may be going through some difficulties, but it won't be wallowing in the same difficulty we were wallowing in 2 years ago. We're moving on in our faith. We're moving on from glory to glory. And to do that, we've got to move forward. Today, many call themselves Christians and have no idea what that means. The term Christian was first used in Antioch a short time after Jesus was crucified, placed in the tomb, and then arose. For days he walked, talked, ate with people, and then he ascended into heaven before them. And with hundreds and hundreds of people seeing the resurrected Lord Jesus, there was no denial of what happened because they saw it. A short time later, there were those that joined Christ. They joined Christ in a death, in a burial of who they were, and in a resurrection to live a new life. There was a man named Saul that was going around killing Christians. That guy died, he was buried, and a new guy named Paul began to live that wrote a lot of our New Testament. There was a guy named Peter. Wimpy Peter denied even knowing Jesus. That guy died. That wimp died. A new man came up. And that began to happen across the region. And those people who, according to Galatians 2:20, were crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, they lived, yet it wasn't them that lived, but it was Christ that lived in them. And the life that they were now living, they were living by the faith in the Son of God. And for those people who had that happen for, they were referred to as little Christ. They were referred to in Antioch as little Christ. And as time went on, they were referred to as Christians. And a Christian didn't mean you were born in America. A Christian didn't mean that you had repeated a three-sentence deal. A Christian didn't mean that you were a member of this church or of that church. It meant that you acted like, talked like, thought like, responded in life like Jesus did. The term salvation didn't mean that you slipped up a hand and every eye was bowed, every head was bowed, and every eye was closed. The term salvation meant you were saved from your old self. You were saved from the punishment of sin. You were saved from the consequences of sin in your life. And you were saved and you were given peace and you were given joy. You were given a new life. And salvation meant you were saved from something. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. I want everybody to turn with me today. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Well then, should we keep on sinning? You know, God loves everybody. He loves people. He accepts people. And that's what we're taught. You know, they ask that same question right here. Well, do we keep on sinning? Look, God loves you and accepts you where you are, but he doesn't leave you where you are. Verse 2, of course not. Verse 2 says, of course not. Verse 1, do we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Verse 2, of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, we now may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in his death, we'll also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin may lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We're sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. Verse 10, when he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Verse 12, do not let sin control the way you live. For those of you who don't know Greek in here, let me tell you what that means. It means do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument to evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Life under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 8. I'm reading quite a bit of scripture today. And for those of you who don't know that I know, I want to let you know that I know. That a pastor is not supposed to read a lot of scripture. It loses people and it gets lost and people daydream off. Hermeneutics tells me to read one verse and then talk on that one verse. We've done that, and that's why we're where we are. That's exactly what we've done, and exactly why the church is where it is. And so in an attempt to bring us back from the doorstep of hell, I'm just going to go ahead and read some Bible here today. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature, they can't ever please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 12, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Well, I was born this way. Well, I can't help myself. This is the way I was raised. Well, this is in my genetics. You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. Let me just make sure you understand this, verse 13, because if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Under Jesus' lordship, You are saved from what your old sinful nature produces in your life. And I don't know if you are old enough to know this yet or not. Some of you young people are not old enough, and you want to get out and live a little. Well, some of us who got out and lived a little know what the old sinful nature will produce. It will get you fired as you live a little. It will get you on your fourth marriage as you're living a little. It will get you, come on, are you on? It will get you broke as you live a little. It'll destroy financially anything that you can produce as you live a little. And those of us who are older in here have understood that this scripture says, if you continue to live by your old sinful nature, you will die. And many of us know what that feels like. You lived death. You live death in the inside, miserable, no peace, no joy, no happiness, mad, bitter, angry, frustrated, and your whole life was lived like that. Thank God. Thank God I've been saved from what that sinful nature produces. Last week in this service, we had the altars flooded with people. We had lines and lines and lines of people getting hands laid on them and getting prayed over. Jason was down here. We had a line of children. He told me we had many of our children confess Jesus as Lord last Sunday, gave their heart to Jesus. We had lines of young people getting saved. The altars were full in the front. Altars were in the back. People were crying. I mean, I was praying for people. I never heard such weeping, and people were confessing their sins. People were getting forgiven for their sins. Tears were shed. Whoa, what a service we had. This week, did we live under the Lordship of Jesus? Oh, Tim, it was marvelous last Sunday. We had a wonderful service. I'll know in 2 years. When your wife wanted to shoot you and she didn't, I will know. Whenever you wanted to run off and leave her and you didn't, then I will know if we had a wonderful service. But see, the church is producing all, oh, it was wonderful. And nobody's staying married. Nobody's living a godly life. Nobody is crucifying their flesh. And nobody's living under the lordship of Jesus in their life. And that's why the church has lost its power in this world. And we got to quit running, seeking a goosebump. And we've got to run seeking a death and a burial of this old man and a resurrection to a new life. This is what this church, is on course to do. Because the church has failed to communicate that in this goosebump thrill-seeking society. We're thrill seekers. We're going to run on a zip line. We're going to go down and ride on a ride in Six Flags, or we'll go to church and what we got to do is stop running here to there getting a woo, and we got to start dying to ourselves and raising a new man that lives after the lordship of Jesus in our life. Let me tell you something. Before you knew the Lord, before Jesus, you got mad, and so you quit. You got mad, so you told him to take his job and shut it. You got mad, so you went out in your car and you sprayed gravel all over the front of the building. I was mad. After Jesus, the church don't tell you this, you still get mad. You get mad as you did before. This last week I got so mad I couldn't see. My vision started getting blurry. You still get mad. Oh, Pastor, you get mad. Oh, you can't believe. Son, I was mad. But see, that doesn't control you any longer. I was mad, but that feeling doesn't tell you how to respond. See, now you get mad, and peace will come into your mind. Now you get mad, and you pray for the person that you're mad at, because you live with the awareness, I've made people mad, and I need them to overlook me. And so right now, it's my turn to overlook them. See, you recognize your need for forgiveness, and so you begin to forgive other people. You're still mad, but mad ain't Lord no more. See, before Jesus is Lord, someone hurt your feelings, so you withdrew. It hurt my feelings, and so I ain't going to that church no more. Somebody hurt your feelings, so you're depressed. And lock myself in my room. Then, bless us all, somebody hurt your feelings, and so start calling people and gossiping about them. Start spreading rumors about them because they hurt your feelings. After Jesus becomes Lord, I got news for you. You still get your feelings hurt. All the time. If you're new in this church, it won't be long. We'll get around to you. Oh, that was a wonderful sermon. Come next week. You'll leave mad. It's just a matter of time. But here's the deal. Someone hurts your feelings. Well, when Jesus is Lord, you do something kind. See, you give to the one that hurt you. See, you bless them. You pray for them. See, before Jesus is Lord, you see something that looks good. You see something that's fun. You see something that's desired. And you do it. Why'd you do it? I wanted to. Before Jesus is Lord, it looked fun, so I did it. See, after Jesus is Lord, you recognize what a trap looks like. You recognize what a trap looks like. You make that little piece of cheese look real good. So he'll put his neck in there. See, after Jesus becomes Lord, it still looks good. I mean, those tight blue jeans look great. Oh, Pastor, what can you said that? Oh, come on. But after Jesus is Lord, you realize what a trap looks like. And that trap will get you divorced. That trap will get your kids hating you. That trap will get you bankrupt. That trap will destroy your life. See, you still see things that you desire. You still see things that you wish you had. You still see things that look fun. But after Jesus becomes Lord, you begin to recognize a trap in your life. That don't taste near as good as I thought it did. That doesn't make me feel near like what I thought it would make me feel. See, when Jesus is Lord, things change for you. See, before Jesus is Lord, why'd you do that? Felt like it. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Why'd you do that? I was frustrated. Why did you do that? Well, I was having a bad day. Why'd you go and do that? Well, I just was under a lot of pressure. See, after Jesus is Lord, you do what the Word commands you to do. And it has nothing to do with the fact you were having a bad day. Don't you know I'm not here today because I wanted to be. I'm not here today because I happened to get in early last night and I got plenty of rest. I'm here today because God's word says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves one with another. And it clearly calls us to join together and worship him, join together and kneel before him, and join together and worship him with our giving. And that's why I'm here today, not whether I got enough sleep to be here or not. See, before Jesus was Lord, we discussed, you won't go to church tomorrow? I don't know, I've had a rough week. After Jesus is Lord, I want you to know, not one time ever have I ever asked my wife, do you want to go to church tomorrow? That question has never been asked in our home. See, when Jesus is Lord, never one time ever do we have certain conversations. I'm not going to stand here and say that she doesn't make me mad and I don't make her mad. We do that on a regular basis. We've been practicing that for 38 years, making each other mad. We're good at it. But not ever, not one time ever, have I slammed the door and said, I'm getting a divorce. Because I'm not getting a divorce. Because here's what the Bible says. I'm mad, but my anger does not determine whether I'm getting a divorce today or not. I'm mad. I'm real mad. But that doesn't make a determining factor on whether I'm going to get in my car and blow gravel all over her car. Oh, shoot. I'm mad at her. I'll just go kick the TV out. Yeah. That was a good move. See, you still get mad, but when Jesus is Lord, your emotions don't tell you what to... Well, Tim, I got mad. Oh, so your anger is Lord. Well, Tim, I was frustrated. Oh, okay. So your frustration is Lord. Halfway. through 2016, I'm just asking, are you today living your life under a new Lord? Terry and I never ever have a conversation. We talk all the time. She and I travel together. We're just her and I together for hours and hours on end. And not ever one time ever have I asked her what she thought about abortion or what do you think about abortion? Jeremiah tells us what we think about abortion. See, not ever one time have I asked her, well, babe, what do you think? Really? What do you think about the gay marriage issue? Babe, what do you think about changing your gender? See, we don't ask questions that are clearly spelled out for us in the Bible. We're not sitting around talking about what do you think or what. Let me tell you this. I don't ask my coworkers what they think about this issue or that issue because I don't get what I think from my coworkers. I get what I think from the Bible. I don't get my worldview from the college professors I sat under. I don't get my worldview from them. I never forget being in college. And I was there sitting, watching my college professor, smoking a cigarette, trembling and shaking, explaining to me how the Bible is outdated, archaic, and how foolish it is. And it was a philosophy class, and he was running everything down that I ever believed. And he's got 3 doctorate degrees behind his name. I'm getting sucked into this as a little freshman sitting there. He's smoking a cigarette. He's got it in his mouth. He reaches down and gets another one out to light it, and there's one in his ashtray. The guy is a wreck. His life is a wreck. His personal life is a wreck. He has no peace. He has no joy. Everything about his life that I begin to find out is nothing like I would want to have. And here all these little freshmen are getting sucked in. Look here, your college professor don't tell you a worldview. The Bible tells you how to think, how to believe, and that will produce peace and joy in your life. You look at them, I'm not getting sucked into that nonsense. It ain't working for you. I don't care how many doctorate degrees you got. You're a wreck. Who shapes your worldview? We've been reading John chapter 1 a whole lot. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among all men. At no time do I stand up here as a pastor and tell you about God and about God's love and then take the Bible and rewrite what he says is sin. You don't separate God from his Word. So you don't talk about the love of God and then rewrite what God says. They don't go together. That can happen in our life. The thing we're majoring on this year in this church is there is a Lord in your life. And you need to know that. There is a Lord and you have a Lord. What we're asking is your temper your Lord? Ladies, is your hormones your Lord? We're just talking in here today. It's just family. Those are not family, y'all slip out. We're just family in here talking. Are your moods Lord? Is your emotions Lord? Is your depression Lord? Is your money Lord? Is your lust Lord? Is your greed Lord? You've got a Lord that's calling the shots in your life. And you need to be well aware that you have a Lord. Is it the sin nature that you were born with? Is that your Lord? Well, it's my birth. Well, it's my genetics. I can't help it. I was born with these genes. So, your genetics are Lord. Well, we're asking this year, are you living your life under a new Lord? Because your genetics will produce misery. Your genetics will produce anger, frustration, despair, loneliness. But Jesus will produce life, joy, and peace in your life. We're asking a question. Are you living your life under a new Lord? Or is your anger? Let me ask you, is your past your Lord? You're going to get counseling 3 days a week. We talk about what happened when you were 7, what happened when you were 13, what happened when you were 18. Is your past still your Lord? Or can you crucify what happened to you? I hate it. It was sad. They should have never done it. They ought to be horsewhipped for doing that to you. Crucify it, bury it, and live under a new Lord. Live under the lordship of Jesus, who now directs your thoughts, not what happened to you 27 years ago. There's a Lord in your life. What we're asking in this church is, who is your Lord? We're being taught today that you decide what is right for you. We're being taught like never before. You decide what bathroom to use. It's not your birth that tells you what bathroom to use. You decide what bathroom to use. You decide what's right for you. You decide what gender you are. You decide, you decide, you decide, you decide. No one decides that but you. And here's what I'm telling you. That way will destroy your life. You're being taught a religion, and you are being taught a submission to a religion. You have a Lord, and that Lord is either you or that Lord is Him. Are you choosing what gender you are, or did He choose what gender you are? And who are you submitted to? Are you choosing what you think, or is He choosing what you think? And which Lord are you under? Are you choosing what you say, or is He choosing what you say? And I'm asking, whose Lord are you under? Because you are under a Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature, they think about the sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. What is in control of your mind? The things of the sinful nature, or is the Holy Spirit in control of your mind? When the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. When the sinful nature controls your mind, there is death and destruction. What we're asking in this church today is, are you living under a new Lord? We're being taught, you decide what's right for you. No one has the right to tell you what is right and wrong. Follow your inner desires. Church, that's not a new thing. It started in Genesis chapter 3. God clearly said this. And Adam and Eve's pastor redefined sin. God clearly said this, and Adam and Eve decided they wanted to do this over here because it looked delicious, it was desirous to the eye, it was pleasing to the flesh, and they knew God loved everybody, and God accepted everybody, and they decided not to do what God said, but to do what they wanted to do. And immediately, we read about what happens when you decide right and wrong for yourself. When you're told by your teachers, when you're told by your college professors, when you're told by the TV shows, when you're told by movies that no one has the right to tell you what is right, know that they are teaching you to live life under the Lord of self. And you read the Bible, it's very clear. We got 6,000 years of recorded human history. And when individuals and when nations did what was right in their own eyes, we got recorded what happened. And when individuals and nations submitted to God, we have a record of the blessings and the provisions that took place in their life. The definition of a Christian has been lost. God gives us clear, easy to understand how to live life direction when you make Jesus Lord of your life. I want you to know, I don't look to see if it's legal or if it's not legal. Yeah. I don't care if we vote for it or if we vote against it. I don't care not one iota if our state votes it in or if our state votes it out. I want you to know, I don't care where the modern world is today. Well, Tim, you're going to have to get modern, and you're going to need to know that's where the world is today. Here's what you can write down. If the entire world is this way, you can come here, and I'm still going to be preaching what the Word of God says is right and what the Word of God says is wrong. I don't care where our modern culture is today, because I've read where modern cultures take individuals and where they take nations. And I've also read where a bowing of the knee and a submitting to the Lord, I've read where that takes individuals and I've read where that takes nations. And the whole world can believe that it's okay, but I will still be standing on the Word of God. I'll still be believing the Word of God, and I'll still be preaching the Word of God because I understand what that does in people's lives. Christian Ministries Church members, whether it's legal, whether it's accepted by modern culture, whether it's voted on or passed on, it will not produce peace. It will not produce joy. It will not look what the entire, it will not produce what the entire world is looking for. The whole world is looking for one thing and one thing only, and that's a little peace. That's what the whole world is looking for, is a little peace. And Philippians chapter 4 is very clear. It comes by thinking on whatever's true and honorable, what's right and pure, what's lovely and admirable, what is excellent and what is worthy of praise. And you put into practice what Jesus said to do, and the peace of God floods your hearts and your minds. To have what you're looking for in life, you got to die to you deciding what is right and wrong. You have to die to you being in charge, and you have to live your life now under a new Lord. For you to have peace in your life, make Jesus Lord. Y'all stand.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.